Got a song on my heart tonight. We'll sing that one. That Jesus loved me. That means a lot to me.
Hallelujah.
I don't think I was ever deprived of love. But there were times when I wanted it other directions I didn't get. And I know what that feels like.
Yeah.
You know, just to be appreciated sometimes, just to be accepted sometimes means a whole lot. God's been so good to me.
Hallelujah.
I was thinking today of everything I've got. It's because of the providence of God. My wife was testifying one night, just kind of recollecting, and she began to talk about her life. All her life she was a preacher's daughter. When she quit being, well, she never quit being a preacher's daughter, but when she left his care, she became a preacher's wife and a preacher's daughter-in-law. And everything she's ever had, she said, was because of the church. And the church was because of God. And everything she had was because the Lord loved her. And that's the way it's been. The Lord's been mighty good to us. We're not rich, but we're not in poverty. And every week is nip and tuck to get by, but the Lord always helps us to get by. Amen. Just in time. Praise the Lord. And that's the way it works with with us. We thank you for what you've done. The Lord bless you for that. We appreciate this spirit and this service. Not only tonight, but every service. I want you to know I felt the most powerful unction I've ever felt in my life this morning in Sunday school. Amen. God talked to somebody's heart today. Amen. I wasn't too disappointed in that broadcast. I'd like to have a copy of that. I was disappointed last night. But I was more impressed by it than I was some of the others I heard this morning. And when I can be impressed with my own preaching, that's pretty... The others had to be pretty bad. Amen. Well, I didn't do any talking about that. That if I was out in the world and I heard that radio broadcast, that good church singing, that pastor praying and talking, I believe I'd come here. Amen. I really do. I believe I'd just tell my wife, let's get ready. We're going over to the Apostolic Church, 6th and Dakota tonight.
Could I, buddy?
Yes, sir, brother, anytime. Well, the Lord knows. We appreciate you so very much. I don't appreciate you any. I mean, that's the truth. That's the truth. Nobody's money's ever impressed me. And, of course, I'm sure you know that. Well, I was talking about love, wasn't I? You know, a long time ago, I was just a little tow-headed boy. Of course, I've been styled now, but I wasn't styled back then. Back then, all the kids at school knew I was poor. You can sloppier you get nowadays, even girls. I've noticed girls. Of course, Pentecostal girls are not that way, but girls out in the world, looks to me like the sloppier they can get, the better off they like it. I wouldn't look at them twice if I'd have, I would. I'd wonder where in the world they come from. Blue jean legs hanging that far off their feet. That's right. Look like a family of folks moved out of That's right. Sloppy, slouchy. Well, I was that way when I was a kid. My daddy was doing the very best he could. I didn't get to go to the barbershop like I ought to. I was 12 years old before I ever got in the barbershop. And my daddy always cut my hair. I hated it for several reasons. For one reason, he didn't know how. And I just never did like to... For him to grab, he had an old dress. He hung up under the eave of the house on the porch, and he'd go grab that old dress and turn one of them chairs around backwards and say, "All right, James, you first." I hated to get under that thing. He never asked me how I wanted it. He just 1 week the kids was calling me baldy. A month or two later, they called me cotton. My hair went from one extreme to the other whenever he could get to it. Down over my ears. Like I said, I'd be in style nowadays. Didn't have very much of that brilliantine. I know none of you boys, you 40-year-old boys, know what I'm talking about, but brilliantine. Didn't have much of that around. And so my hair was always real white and always everywhere. But even in spite of that, I could look in that old mirror sometimes, and I didn't look too bad. Didn't have three fins in my shirt too most of the time. Usually had a couple of buttons left, and just standing there looking in that mirror, and I think, boy, hell, the ship left tomorrow. You get to school. Days we took pictures, I had all running off from my side of my head and down my neck, and just combed that hair, boy, fixed it. And I was pretty well fixed up, but I guess I was ugly now that I look back on it. At least I don't go around showing none of my school pictures to anybody. And polio shirts, as Mama said. Big old stripes around them. And there I sat there grinning, weighed 128 pounds when I was in sixth grade. And I had these terrible looking teeth and couldn't keep my mouth shut for grinning. That's all grinning. I know nobody ever thought I was pretty, but there I was, just like that. And, you know, it kind of did me good once in a while to get one of them little notes folded up. One of the girls in the class said, "I claim you." It kind of did me good, but it usually didn't last very long. She loved somebody else the next day. But one of the worst things ever happened to me. Must have been, it wasn't summertime. The kids, a couple of boys on up the road. I guess they always thought they was good looking. And they came by. I never had a bicycle. I used to go out behind the barn. I'd read them funny books. I'd get my neighbor friend. I'd get them funny books. And that little boy in there gave me a rhyme one time. Said, "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might have a wish I wish tonight." And he went out and wished on that evening star. And the next morning he woke up rich. Well, I thought that'd really work. Even though I was a Pentecostal kid, I thought that'd work. So every evening I'd go out behind the barn where nobody couldn't hear me. And I'd say, "Wait for that star." I don't know how many millions of kids might have been wishing on it, but brother, nobody ever wished on it with any more ardor than I did. I'd stand out there and wait for that thing to come. When it did, I'd start just man so fast you couldn't hardly understand what I was saying. "Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. Wish I may, I wish I might have a wish I wish tonight." And I'd wish, "I wish I had a bicycle. I want a bicycle so bad. It'd be so much fun to ride instead of having to run. Be so much fun to get to ride instead of having to push that old tire everywhere you went." Now I got tired of pushing that thing everywhere I went. But that was the only transportation I had. You never got in a fix like that, but go somewhere with that case and somebody would take it, you didn't know the way home. Well, you better laugh, but I think the Lord's going to sober you up in a little while. I'm on the subject tonight that eats my heart out. Love. I laugh and all of a sudden I want to cry. Well, that's the way it is. Anyway, like, I'm not criticizing you for laughing. I want you to laugh. I enjoy that. But while we were laughing, I thought, that's not the end of the story. If it were, that'd be so much fun. But for everybody in this world, it's so much heartbreak. So much. I've looked at men that their wives just walked up and left them and I cry. It hurts me. Seen the same thing. I've seen kids that their parents left them and parents who were forsaken by their children. And it hurts. Well, God, we need a lot of that. We really do.
That's right.
We need some.
That's right.
For the sake of those of you who are so spiritual that you can't laugh, well, I want to apologize for even thinking anything foolish. But I grew up deprived, not of love. My parents loved me. And I know they did. They chastised me enough. I know they loved me. But you know, that without outside affection you long for sometimes. And these two boys came by one day on their bicycles. Both of them, and I don't know how it was, but Western Auto was doing mighty good back then. Both these boys had Western Flyer bicycles. And red and white, real fancy things. Even had the tassels hanging out of the handlebar grips. And one of them even had a siren on that thing. You pull that chain up against that wheel and you could hear him coming for 3 or 4 miles. Well, it was just something I dreamed about, wished on the star about, never had. Wished I had. They came by one day and said, "Hey, James and Mary Ann's down at Diane's. And one of these days I'm going to run up on Mary Ann somewhere. I don't know where she'll be, but I'm going to run up on her. And I'm going to ask her to forgive me for the feeling I held in my heart for a long time." I was just about 10 years old, I guess. And they said, "Let's go down Diane's. Mary Ann's visiting with her." I thought, you know, maybe Mary Ann wants to see me. I didn't know. I mean, I was just a kid, you know. You claimed everybody that they would let you. if they didn't say, if they didn't just really get rough and say, "Hey, boy, you quit even looking at me." You claimed them, you know. You'd even write their name plus yours on the wall somewhere. You liked them. Well, I thought she was one of the prettiest little girls I'd ever seen. So down to that house we went. One of these boys could have pumped me on the bicycle, but not one of them, they didn't even offer to. So they took off riding, and here I went running. Shoe soles flopping where I tried to get them together with them old hog rings. And tried to keep them from flopping, but it just wouldn't always work. And down the road I went, and them shoes sold. Flop, 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 flop. Here I went. Running along behind them. Got down there and run up in the yard. I started to say, pull that in the yard. They pulled up the yard, and I run up the yard, and I get my hair down over my ears, and just tattered and torn. And they was both real suave. She looked at them, and then she looked at me, and she said, "Where'd y'all get that?" And I couldn't stand it. It went all over me. I wanted to get away, just go someplace else, and forget about that little smart aleck standing there that said, "Where'd y'all get that?" For a long time, I held it in my heart because I realized that she didn't have any love in her heart for me. She could at least be nice. And young folks, let me tell you this. Be nice. Be nice. Every little kid in the world needs somebody to act like they like them. I've seen churches where they were so clannish, so clicked, until you could always see that little wallflower. And God knows that don't need to be around our churches. We don't need no broken hearts. We don't need nobody going home hurt. Many a time I've gone to a house to counsel some young lady who was crying her eyes out because somebody at church and I didn't have to ask any questions about the other young folks. "Do you really shine her?" I knew they did. I could tell they did. And it hurts. To be unloved is the worst thing in the world. That's the worst thing in the world. But somebody loves us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. And His love is so miraculous. Absolutely miraculous. You don't understand how He ever found it in His heart to love somebody as unlovable as we might be. But I thank God tonight because I don't care if the world don't love me. That's their problem, friend. Every minute of the day I feel somebody near to me. He likes to talk to me. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. He talked to me emphatically in the service this morning and gave me explicit direction. And I thank Him for that. Praise God. But when there ain't nobody else around, that sweet spirit just seems to come in and expresses to me love that I have never really understood. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. I want you to love Jesus right now because He loves you. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
1 John 4:19, the Bible said, we love Him because He loved us first. He loved us first. He wrote the first note. He made the first commitment. Hallelujah. If anybody's going to make a fool out of himself, it was Him.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. All right.
He's the one who's going to get turned down. He's the one who drops the note in your coat pocket back in the locker at school and says, "I love you. Do you love me?"
Praise God.
And then you could go giggling all over the schoolyard and say, "Do you know what he did? He wrote a note and said he loved me. I can't stand him." That's what people do to Jesus.
That's right.
That's what they did to Him.
That's right.
He said, "I love you." Now, I've got a text somewhere, but if I don't read one tonight, you can forget. I want to evangelize your heart.
Right.
Praise God. If I don't read a text tonight, I'll tell you where it's at. 24th verse of the 7th chapter of Romans. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And then the scripture tells me in the 8th chapter and the 15th verse that we have not received the Spirit again, abundance again to fear, but we have received the Spirit. We have received the Spirit. And that Spirit is coming to our heart. And that Spirit cries, "Abba, Father." Hallelujah. You know why? Because when we were children of the devil, the Lord saw us neglected and saw us hated and saw us despised and saw us in all kinds of conditions. And He loved us enough to make us His son. Hallelujah. Praise God. He stood the chance. He doesn't still take the chance every service night.
He still takes the chance.
Right.
Commit himself to be ridiculed.
Right. Hallelujah. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Praise God.
Uh-huh.
Can I tell you, I'm just inspired tonight.
You're doing so.
Can I tell you what happened to me one day? I went back to my locker. And the first day, Mama carried me to the school. I had to get my shot. Oh, you don't know nothing. I tried to eat them straws the first time I went to school. I've never seen one in my life. I thought when they stuck that thing in that milk, I thought you're supposed to eat that. I tried to eat it. I embarrassed everybody in the country, man. I had never seen anybody so country till I got to school. But Mama carried me to... Now, in the country where I live, she didn't have a lot of neighbors. There wasn't very many folks around. And when I got to school, I'd never seen so many kids in my life. And I never had seen one look like that little freckle face, Hilda Lynn Clark. That's the prettiest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Oh, she is freckle faced. But she is pretty. And I was dreading going down to see Miss Applewhite, because I knew when I got there, all them older kids told us that she stands back against the wall and said she just throws them needles and said they hit you in arms. And boy, I was dreading that, but man, I was enjoying that schoolroom, because I was looking around and there's old Hilda Lynn. I didn't know who she was, but I knew I liked her. Well, one day when I was in the first grade, went back to my locker one day, put on my coat, and some other little girl ran up to me and said, "Look in your coat pocket." It was really Buddy's coat pocket. He was brother older than my sister that was older than my brother. I reached down in that coat pocket and I pulled out one of them little pieces of paper that they folded up and looked like a gun, just three-corner job. And on the outside it said, "To James Edward." Oh. I opened that thing up and it said, "Dear James Edward, I claim you. Do you claim me? I think you're the sweetest boy in this school. Love, Hilda Lynn." Oh, man! I run out the door, down the hall, rolling. Man, I found Roland Hickenbottom. And I said, "Roland, you ain't going to believe it. Hilda Lynn loves me." But what if I'd have walked out? Said old Hilda Lynn wrote me a note. "I don't like that little freckle face thing. You know, you put yourself in a position to be embarrassed."
That's right. I see.
Now the Lord gave us a love note.
Yeah, you did.
And told us how much He loved us.
Hallelujah. Oh,
now you can make fun of Him all over town if you want to. But somebody's going to claim Him. Hallelujah. And someday, you're going to be jealous. Because the Bible said that everybody who rejects the Lord is going to be tormented forever, day and night, in the presence of the Lord and His holy angels. And someday, you're going to wonder, God, you could be with Him, but you're not going to be with Him. Hallelujah. You've got to take His love note and sit down and answer every question in it. He said, "I love you. Do you love me? I claim you. Do you claim me? I think you're sweet. Do you think I'm sweet?" Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you love Him tonight? Do you love Him with all your heart? Praise God. Praise God. We didn't have anything within us that He could possibly love. But I want you to know He came anyway and delivered us from the body of death, destined to die, and said, "I've come that I might give you life and that life more abundantly." I'm so glad tonight that Jesus loved me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's worship God. Praise
God. Praise God.
Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. Well, hallelujah. I've got over all the Mary Ann's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't like me, if you turn thumbs down on me, that's all right. It won't take me very long to get where somebody really loves me. Praise God. As soon as I get out away from you, where I can just say it, I'm going to say, "Jesus, I love you more now than I ever loved you before. I realize, Lord, that you're the greatest friend I ever had." Hallelujah. And you try to tell me differently, and you act like you want to act, and do what you want to do, and go where you want to go. But me, I want the company of the one who loved me enough to die for me. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Well, we wasn't his son. That's right, because the Bible said that we received the Spirit in our heart. And that Spirit is the only thing that can cause us to say, Father. The Bible tells me that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. You've got to accept His love note. You've got to take Him for what He is to you and what He wants to be to you, or else you're absolutely outside. And let me tell you something, friend. Jesus don't need you. Hallelujah. He ain't a playboy, but He don't need you. But He loves you just the same. Now, I don't want that to sound too sarcastic, but I want to tell you, some folks think they'd be doing the Lord a favor if they'd one day accept Him as their personal Savior. I want you to know the Lord don't need us. And if we're thinking we're just doing Him a favor, we're wrong. We're doing ourselves a favor. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He loved us enough to die for us. And I want you to know, if you don't praise Him, the rocks can cry. Hallelujah. But aren't you glad He loves you? I'm not very bad about this, but you ought to turn to somebody next to you and just say, I'm glad Jesus loved me, and I'm fixing to do it. Hallelujah. I'm glad. Hallelujah. Are you going to do it? You're not going to do it. You're not going to turn to somebody next to you and say, I'm glad Jesus loved me. I'm going to do it again. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, yeah. No more wishing on a star. I found that star. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? I never had a new bicycle. I ain't never had a bicycle at all. I told myself, one of these days, son, I'm going to get me one. I'm going to get one of the best as money can buy. A free spirit or something. I'm going to get one with everything on it. Tassels and coontails and everything you can put on one. Mirrors and radio arrows, anything you can get on one. I'm going to get one, son, one of these days. Praise God. But it ain't going to be behind that barn wishing on that star. Hallelujah. I'm glad tonight that Jesus loved me. You know what happened? My Mephibosheth was just a little old boy. And his dad, his brothers, all died on the battlefield. When they died and a new regime took over, he received in his life, because of system, he received the curse of death. As an heir to the throne of Saul, he received in his life the curse of death. It was something for him to even live and exist. Every day was in hiding. He always had to squelch all of that publicity that might get out about the crippled son of Saul who lives out in the country in Lodabar with Mason. I want you to know, friend, it's horrible to have to live under the curse of death. But some folks have never realized that in the moment, in the twinkling of the eye, that their last breath could be drawn and that they could beat God out of kilter without peace with God. Now here we are tonight, and if you've never received the Spirit into your heart by crying out the Father, then you have never really been released from the curse of death. And you've still got it in your life. And you ought to be crying tonight, oh wretched man or woman or boy or girl that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? If I could get one of you to stand up tonight and say, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? I'll point you to my Jesus and tell you that He's already paid the price. Hallelujah. The Scripture said that through His own death and by the shedding of His own blood, He came to set at liberty those who all their lifetime were subject to bondage because of the fear of death. Hallelujah. But I want you to know Jesus came and took that death in His own body. And when He ascended on high, the Scripture said He led captivity captive and He gave gifts to men. And you know what else it said? It said He took the sting out of the death and He took the victory out of the grave. And now we can say, hallelujah, oh wretched man that I am, who deliver me from the body of this death. We can say Jesus did. Praise God. And now we can all shout with one accord. We can all say, oh, praise, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I want you to know where it's at. It's in my Lord Jesus. He bought my deliverance.
This old boy's getting old since he's just a kid. Crippled in his feet. Fell when he's trying to flee the city. And he never did get well. Thought about that a lot. Never had a daddy to come by when that nurse was trying to get him back, mended back to health. He never had a daddy to come by and say, son, daddy's pulling for you. He had to suffer it all by himself.
All by himself.
In fact, he didn't even have a daddy. There he sits out there in that rocking chair. It's terrible. From the bedroom to the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
And from the kitchen out to the porch. And sit down out there on the porch in that rocking chair and rock till bedtime.
Uh-huh.
And back through the living room to the kitchen. And back to the porch to the chair. Till supper time. And out of the chair, across the porch, through the living room, and into the kitchen for supper. And then get your bath and go to bed. So you can hurry up and get up in the morning and back to the same old grind. But at least that is living. And he didn't even have the promise of that much. Amen? Mary said. And one day, 30 years after David had made pledge to Jonathan, he said, hey, he said, I told Jonathan that I'd be good to him. I'd show kindness to his survivors. Is there anybody yet that I can show kindness to of the house of Saul for Jonathan, my brother, my friend's sake? And they said, he has a servant, Ziba. 15 sons out there somewhere. We'll round him up. And they brought Ziba in. And David went through all those diplomatic channels. And then he said, Ziba, is there anybody else anywhere? I want you to know the Lord could be in the fluciest cathedral in the world tonight, but he's not. Hallelujah. And I say he's not. He may be, but that's not where he's limited to. He's still crying out. Is there anybody of the rejected people of the world who needs somebody to befriend them? Is there anybody out there who needs somebody to say, I love you? Is there anybody out there who's just sick of life and would you like to really live? Hallelujah. And David said, is there yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness to? And Ziba said, why, yeah. But he's crippled. You wouldn't want him over here in your palace. So he can't do anything. Nobody even knows him. And David said, where is he? I want him. Hallelujah. And you may think, well, I was higher class than Mephibosheth. Well, maybe you were. But I want you to know, I like to think about myself being just as low as you could get. Hallelujah. I've heard preachers get up and preach and say, bless God, if I hadn't have been a preacher, I could have been an insurance executive. Well, I want you to know tonight, church, I don't think I could have been anything. That's the truth. Amen.
Praise God.
There he sits, rocking in that chair. And he hears the jingling of the harnesses on them old, or whatever they are on them old horses coming out there, all that armor hanging all over. He looks up and sees the sun shining off the helmets of those soldiers. And what he feared would always happen is finally going to happen. They're coming to take my life. This is what he dreaded every day he got up. Because all his life he was in bondage by fear of death.
That's right.
Every morning he thought, this is the last day. I'm going to live as full as I can because this may be the last day. And he looked up and he saw them coming. And I wondered, did he look around and see the old barnyard? He said, goodbye, barnyard. Goodbye, old house. I won't ever see you. Goodbye, sunshine. Goodbye to all of it. And they got down, come across the yard and up on the porch and said, we're looking for Mephibosheth. He said, I'm him. Take me. I said, David, won't you?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I figured it would come someday. David, won't you? And they got him, loaded him up, back to the palace. All the way back, he's just going over in his mind. You've never been close to death.
Oh, God.
If you ever get close to death, you're going to think a lot. You'll think about mama. You'll think about daddy. You'll think about what you did today, what you didn't do, what you haven't done. You'll think about it all. And I'm sure back to the palace, he was thinking about everything. Everything. Trying to relive all the good moments. Trying to recall any of those that might have been too bad. And he wanted to get it out of his heart. They got him, started him down the hall into the into the room where David was keeping his throne. They opened that door and he was trembling, could hardly walk anyway. Stumbled up the aisle and right down there where David was. And David said, "Are you Mephibosheth?" And he said, "I am." He said, "Mephibosheth, I made Jonathan a pledge a long time ago that if I outlived him, I'd be nice to his people." He said, "I tell you what, I'm going to give you all the land your papa had." He said, "I'm going to give you a servant with 15 sons to work your land." He said, there he sits on the floor. He's not really sure all this is real yet. And all of a sudden, David said, "Hey, you see that chair right there at the end of that table? He said, I want you to sit there every day at dinner, and every morning at breakfast, and every night at supper. I want to see you." He said, Why, King David, I'm just a dead dog." He said, "No, you're not either." He said, "You're going to sit and eat with me every day." He said, I want you to be there every morning." He said, "I don't care if the governor's coming. I want you over there." Hallelujah. 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 Oh, I know there's a lot of folks along for the loaves and the fishes, but there are some folks who love Jesus even when they're down. Praise God. They love Jesus when they're broke. They love Jesus when they're sad. They love Jesus all the time. They love Jesus all the time just because He loved them first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to eat bread at my table continually. Praise God. Praise God. Now, if you ever have been loved, there's something about that love that you want to return it.
Right.
And when David's own son was telling everybody around him, he said, "If you catch the old man, you put a dagger in his heart." Mephibosheth was trying to get out of the house and into the street where David was. Can you see him coming down the stairs? Cripple, can't run. And there's a mass exodus on. All of David's house, all the people who are loyal to him are leaving Jerusalem. And Ziba is on one of the family donkeys and riding away. Got gifts on it. And old Mephibosheth comes down into the street and screams for Ziba to come back. And Ziba just turns around and said, "Hey boy, you're fixing to get your due." And he takes off and catches David at the top of the hill. And David says, "Where's Mephibosheth?" If Ziba had told the truth, he would have said, "When I saw him last, he was sitting in the middle of the street crying, 'David, my Lord, my King, David.'" But he said, Mephibosheth says that today the house of his father is going to return to him. He's going to be king.
Oh God.
Well, let's spend the time with David over there in exile and then get him coming back. News filtered in. Mephibosheth heard that David's coming back. Friend, let me tell you something. Jesus is coming back.
Yes, He is. Yes, He is.
The one who loved me first is coming back.
Yeah.
I hope I'm loving Him.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Mephibosheth heard He was coming. It was Mephibosheth's own desire. He had not shaven, nor washed, or changed clothes since the day that David had left.
Oh, my God.
And I could see him. Those little legs wouldn't carry him very far. He didn't mind pulling the hide off his knees as he walked down toward that river on his knees trying to get out of there. He'd fall on his hands and his claws trying to get to the river. And finally he got right down on the side of the river and he said, "I'll stay right here today." And there he said, in his heart there's something that you cannot describe.
Praise.
Yeah. I would to God it's in more of our hearts. Amen.
Right.
I would have been more of our hearts.
Hallelujah.
David came across the river and he got there and he looked at Mephibosheth and there he was. And Mephibosheth said, David said, "Mephibosheth, why didn't you go with me?" He said, "King, you know about my legs. You know I couldn't keep up with you. I tried, but I just couldn't keep pace. I asked my servant Ziba if he had helped me up on one of the donkeys and get me out of the city. Said he wouldn't do it." And David said, "Well, I acted a little hasty and I gave Ziba all the land. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Mephibosheth. I'm going to half it with you." He said, "Oh, it don't matter. Give him all of it." He said, "I'm glad you came back. And I thank the whole God. Let the world have all of that out there. Let them have all the riches and all the popularity. I'm just glad that Jesus loved me and that someday He's coming back." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. I'm so glad that Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, I want to be able to say, this is my God. I've waited for you, Lord, ever since you saved me. Ever since you brought me out of that bondage out there. Ever since you delivered me from the body of this death. Ever since then, I've loved you with all of my heart. I've loved you with everything in me. Hallelujah. I think tonight I can honestly say that I love him tonight with my heart. That don't put any roses on me. That's just my duty. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. Let God talk to your heart tonight. I don't want to be long-winded, and I don't try to sermonize. I just want God to reach your heart tonight. If his love reaching don't reach you, nothing else will get you. I feel a spirit in this place tonight. I'm so happy that Jesus loved me. I appreciate that so much. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. How many of you right now, you want to love him? You know he loves you? How many of you say, Lord, I want to return that love. I'm going to give my life to you right now. All that I am and all I've hoped to be, I'm going to invest it all in you tonight, my love for you. How many of you will respond real quick to his touch in your life? You want Jesus to live in your heart? You want to pray? Praise God. The altar's open. This is your invitation to come. Praise God. Oh, I'm so glad tonight that Jesus loved me. Never quits. Hallelujah. Praise God for those of you that are coming. I know there are others here tonight that need to be in this altar. You don't need to come just for the sake of coming to the altar. You need to come to seek the Lord tonight. To let that love be shed abroad in your heart. You know how that's going to be? By the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Let him touch you right now, friend. Has he talked to your heart? Has he reached out to you tonight? Has he neglected you in the service? That's what I wonder. Did he just strictly bypass you? While I was telling you he loves you, did he just ignore you and as if to say, no, I don't? Did he, or did he talk to you? Did he reach out there tonight and touch your heart? Did he cause you to feel a little cry welling up in your heart? Did a tear well up in your eye? Did you feel like you'd never really been loved by anybody until he reached out to get hold of you tonight, and then you felt his love reaching? Is the Lord talking to you right now? If he is, would you come? Would you respond to his love note? Would you respond to his gesture? Do you thank him because he loves you? Are you glad he's in this place tonight? Are you glad that he didn't just walk off and never express his love to you at all? Why don't you come now and say, Lord, I'm going to return some of that love.
Praise God. I love him so much. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Let's call on the Lord all together before we gather around the altar. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.